So we have to work that through.
Yeah, I'm going to call the Land Use Committee to order. If there are side conversations, I don't mind that you have them. You can have them in the hall. It would be appreciated. We are under a real time crunch here. So I'm going to ask anybody that is doing a presentation during land use to do it as quickly as possible. We have a meeting after this, and the prime person that is coming in to that meeting that we absolutely have to have has to leave here by 4:25. So we're pushing the envelope here. So, but
I got to leave by 4:25 too.
Of course you do.
I got to leave at 5:00.
And another person. The prime person and another person. Motion to approve the minutes of November 20th.
I didn't do roll call.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So roll call is President Hartley Nagel, Councilpersons Sheldon, Tackett, Smiley, Hollins, Durham, Cartier, Carter, Woods, Diller. I'm Janet Kilpatrick, and taking the minutes is Anthony DeFiore. And now I'll have a motion.
Motion to approve the minutes of November 20th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. I believe somebody from Will Mapco is going to do a presentation. Hi, can you come to the end of the table and just introduce yourself?
The other end.
And you can, you want to be on that end of the table? Where
everybody
can see you?
I said everybody's afraid of you. You run to that end of the table.
Do you have a presentation that you're
doing? It's on already.
It's in? Oh, okay. All right.
So I have 10 minutes?
You have what?
I have 10 minutes.
You can have 10 minutes.
You just used one getting to the table.
I'm sorry. Okay.
You have 10 minutes. Land use gets one slide, so.
Okay. I'm going to be quick.
I'm really pushing today, and I apologize.
That's okay. My name is Tigist Degeye, Executive Director for WMAPCO. I do have my colleagues here, Dave Gola and Heather Dunnigan, Principal Planners. But we'll make it really short, and if you allow us, maybe we'll come back, because we do have quite a lot to cover. So I sure hope you know who WMAPCO is, the Wilmington Area Planning Council. We are the Metropolitan Planning Organization designated by Federal Highway and Federal Transit to do transportation investment. What we do, as a requirement, we have a 20-year transportation plan, which we would like to talk to you today, which is set up really to look at goals at the higher level. And then we have a work program and congestion management. That's where we have our studies, such as 202 and Southern DeKalb County. And then the transportation improvement program is where we actually implement all the projects. And obviously, we have community outreach throughout our process.
Region. Can you just flip manual?
There you go. So again, we're here to talk about the long range plan, the strategic policy that has goal, objectives, and action, and also the long range plan does have to have a projects that have financially constrained, also aspirational. We have been doing long-range plans since 1996. Again, it's a federal requirement, and the next update is due March of 2029. Where we are with the schedule, we started with our progress report, which is really tracking the action in the long-range plan. We also have a public opinion survey. Where we are now is public outreach between October and should go to all the way to November. And our goal is the WMAPCO Council would adopt this by March. The progress report, like as I mentioned, tracks the action of the long range plan, and it's performance based. And again, it informs the development of the RPD. Are you doing it, or am I doing it?
I think
you're doing it. Just to give you a sense of on our progress, looking at the action in the long-range plan, 21% of the action needs more work. 29% action is in between, but we're doing good with 50% of the actions. And as you can see, where growth is in the rural areas, which means a lot of people still drive alone, and a lot of, which translate into a lot of miles that's traveled and obviously crashes. On the other hand, we're doing really well with air quality. A number of plans have been implemented. Also, bike and pedestrian connection have been increasing. We also do a public opinion survey. Not only we depend on the technical aspect, we also call 600 of our residents, 400 in New Castle County, 200 in Cecil County, and ask them what they think about the transportation system. So what we heard from them is really good news, and one of the questions we asked them is how well the transportation meets their needs. As you can see, 88% in 2018 felt like they have transportation they met. On the other hand, if you look at when we asked them if transportation keeps them from activities, you can see it's based on income. 47% of the residents under the under 25K says that it does actually keep them from activities. As I mentioned, the goals and strategy for the long-range plan have goals, objectives, action, performance measures. I'm not going to go through them. I will probably send you this presentation, a lot detail. One thing that I would mention is that the performance measure, it is a federal requirement. However, WMAPCO has been doing it since 1996, so it's really nothing new that to make sure that what we are saying in the long-range plan have performance measures. So that's the second goal. And next one is, okay. So this is where I think you would want to pay attention more because it's going to the land use. So as I mentioned, the public opinion survey, we asked them a number of things, and I cannot read that far, so I'm going to have to depend on my. So what we heard is that 100% says that it's sometimes or always appropriate to mix residential, office, and retail. And 93% said preserving open space and farmland is important. 90% said that existing communities and downtown revitalizing existing communities in downtown is important. 81% said that connecting neighborhood to nearby destination is important. And I think very telling is that 67% said that development and transportation projects should be concentrated to areas with higher population and employment. Next slide, please. So based on that, we put together what we call the transportation investment areas. It's really how intense our transportation investments are based on land use. So what you see in rural areas is natural areas and agriculture that we're not expecting a lot of development. When we talk about developing area, these are areas that are still under development. They don't have a specific transportation patterns yet, land use patterns, but we know that they will be growing. So that's what we call developing. With the community, we're looking at established places, homes, and mostly single family residential communities. The core area is where we have established places with a mixture of people, jobs, and also have highways nearby. And then the center is high existing planned concentration of people, jobs, and then with opportunities for significant projects. So based on that, the WMAPCO staff put together the transportation investment areas. And as you can see, what we're calling center starts from Claymont, City of Wilmington. You can barely see, but Newport is also in there. And then the Chichmond Cross area and Newark. And this is really based on the Amtrak or the rail corridor. So this is our draft transportation investment that we would love to get your input. I know time is an issue, but if you get a chance to look at our website and give us a comment, we really appreciate that. Next one is just to let you know, also have to have clean air quality when we put together our long-range plan. We also have to have funding to do all these projects, and more importantly, that we include not only road projects, but transit, pedestrian, and bicycle facilities. With respect to funding, obviously you have both Cecil County and Newcastle County. The good news for Newcastle County, we actually have quite a good amount of money to invest in the next 20 years. And for that purpose, we have put together a project list for your information. Like I said, I know our time is an issue. However, what I wanted to communicate to you is that we have projects in the constraint list, which means we have already identified funding for those projects, but then we have many, many projects that we have been putting on the aspiration list, the wish list. Now, our challenge is to make sure that projects from the aspiration list will come through the constraint list. So, I just said what the constraint project is, and then it would be this would tie in with the handout that I gave you. So the financially constrained projects have a project list that is above 15 million, and then the next slide would show you projects that are under 15 million. And the next step is we will continue public outreach and agency coordination. If you have the time, please take a survey. It's on our website, womapco.org. /RTP. Also share on social media. We do have an Our Town event, which is a public outreach for our long range plan, where we invite our member agencies and speakers from outside. That's scheduled for February 7th, but we'll send information out. The public comment begins on January 15th, and as I mentioned, council adoption, the WMACO council adoption is scheduled for March of 2019. I'll take any questions.
So when you look at the funding portion of this, mm-hmm. Is this telling us that you have more funds available than what the cost is?
Yes. We have more money this time for projects to bring from what we call aspiration list to the constraint list. And we're working with our council members and with public input to put those projects in the constraint list.
So you're moving things up faster than
yes.
what you anticipated?
Yes.
Well, that's probably the best news that we've heard in a long time. Usually we hear it the other way around. Any questions from council? Mr. Hollins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I noticed Newcastle County long-term, medium-term. Is there a short-term on this list?
Yes. The short-term should be between 19 and 2024. So if you look at... So the short-term is actually... If you look at...
There's a short-term on the bottom of the synopsis sheet.
Yeah. 7, 8 down.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have it from long term, mid term, and then short term.
One other observation here. I think I only noticed one improvement in the city of Wilmington, and one of your points on your slides was to support revitalization of urban centers and cities, but I don't see that reflected in these projects here. I think that's about 12 streets, something about 12 streets in here from the city of Wilmington.
Yes.
I think that's the only thing I saw in here that is designated for the city of Wilmington.
So that project was actually still in the study phase, so we are moving that to the constraint list. Mm-hmm. But there are a number of projects in the list that is in the city of Wilmington, including the bridge,
the
Garrison Lane portion of it. Go ahead. There are actually a number of projects in the city of Wilmington that I can send to you.
Yeah, Wilmington initiative projects.
Am I missing something, like in a legend? What's the highlighted, what's the yellow mean on here?
Yellow means including to the complaint list.
I'm sorry, could state your name and then give me an answer again?
Hi, Dave Gula, I'm also with WMAPCO.
Okay.
Yellow highlights mean that it's moving to the constrained list, so it's going from an aspiration from the wish list to the funded list.
Oh, okay. So where is Mr. Street? Because I'm seeing the Route 9, Lamson Lane to Rogers Road, Memorial Drive to Lamson, and Rogers Road to Terminal. There he is. Mr. Street has joined us, and we're just in the process of having a discussion on Route 9. Can you just explain to me what 50, 51, and 52 encompass, and 54? And if Mr. Street doesn't have a paper, can we make sure he has...
The 40s are all...
The what?
All of the 40s. 42, 43, 42.
Right, so this...
They're from the master plan, I think.
Yes, this comes out of the Route 9 master plan that was done in 2017.
Uh-huh.
So these projects were prioritized based on the community outreach, and we are proposing them to move it to the constraint list.
Which means that they would...
Be funded.
Be funded.
Yes.
Okay. Because we had a discussion on that not too long ago, and in terms of something Community Services is doing, and I know that we were told that that was part of the long-range plan, but nobody really had a definition of what long-range was. So what you're showing us on here basically gives me the impression, and correct me if I'm wrong, that this is any shorter rather than long-term plan.
Yes.
You are getting ready to go into what the design planning, what do you have, planning, design, construction, is that how you work it?
Yes, so it is in the midterm time frame. However, DLDOT actually have funding to do preliminary engineering in the current CPP, which means once they start designing, these projects would move into construction and final design and construction.
And so is this like a normal DLDOT project, or so that would go through like the three-year plan? You know, so the first year you do
preliminary,
the second year you do design, the third year you do construction or something to that effect?
Yes.
Okay.
It is going through the DLDOT process.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions from council? Any questions from the public? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
And I am sorry that we rushed you through this, and we certainly hope that you do come back. I mean, we like having you periodically. I think it gives us a really good synopsis of what's going on in your world that we don't necessarily hear about all the time.
Thank you again for giving us...
Mr. Street, did you have a question before she...
No, I don't have any questions. You know, the genesis of the WMAPCO plan was part and parcel to the library. Previous administration asked them to come in. They did. They developed this. I don't have any problems with it. The only pushback that I'm aware of is some people don't like the roundabout. And we'll see how that goes.
We can count on it.
Nope, studies show.
Okay. Thank you again.
We like them down there.
And if you can come back as, you know, you get like into your next quarter or...
Okay.
Okay?
And I'll have more than 10 minutes.
I can never make that promise. I'm sorry. If it's Tackett's meeting, maybe. Can you say a quick thing about WMAPCO?
Yeah, just Rich Hall Land Use, just to let you all know, FYI, I think you know this, we coordinate quite a bit with WMAPCO, meet with them regularly, so we're integrated with each other's work plans and such.
Right. Thank you. We have no resolutions, but we have an ordinance, 18123, to amend Newcastle County Code, Chapter 7, Property Maintenance Code, Article 1, Standards for Property Maintenance, to adopt the 2018 edition of the International Property Maintenance Code and amendments hereto, It's under Councilman Tackett's sponsorship, who has disappeared. We've had this discussion before within this committee, and they are going to, they have a one-slide presentation to bring us up to date on where they are with the maintenance code. So this goes along with our code enforcement and what things will be changing within that realm.
Okay, introduction along with the slide.
Go, Joe Day.
I'm Joe Day from Land Use. I manage the code enforcement division. I'll be brief. It's really like six slides, but I'll try and go through it and be as informative as possible. This is the 2018-2000, International Property Maintenance Code that we are adopting. The international codes are developed on a three-year cycle by the International Code Council. They're voted on. It's a long process. Anybody can submit changes, but only code officials actually vote for the changes themselves. So the Property Maintenance Code establishes minimum requirements for the maintenance of existing buildings and premises. So with this ordinance, we have adopted the 2018 IEP, or we will be adopting the 2018 IPMC. We've tried to make as little amendments to the actual code itself as possible. And the new provisions that we've added in the code that we've had local issues with are include helicopters, airplanes, construction equipment, pods, and portable toilets. Based on some feedback from council members, we did revise the tickets. So, and we'll get to that. I'm trying to paraphrase here. So this ordinance will expand ticketing to include sanitation and portable temporary storage units, which are the pods. The sanitation issues we have are generally dog feces. But it does enable us to ticket for that with this ordinance. We removed the boat and RV provisions that were adopted but stayed by County Council in 2005. It also restricts the parking of construction equipment in residential areas. What we had been running into is people have their own forklift, backhoe, steamroller, anything that you could imagine. So this restricts that in the residential area. It also prohibits the storage of airplanes, helicopters, and parts of both on residential properties, which is another thing that we had run into that the code did not clearly prohibit. It also clarifies that all visible graffiti is applicable to the code. We had situations where graffiti is on a car or a dumpster or something else on private property. The code was not succinct about that we could actually violate it. The code also clarifies the property owners responsible for providing covered rubbish containers and that the garbage is actually removed from the property. We clarify that you cannot keep a prohibited animal on a residential property other than a pigeon that's registered with a pigeon club. We've had chickens, roosters, goats, cows, whatever you
pig.
Yeah, pigs.
That's where the term pigs fly.
We went back to kind of square one.
We really had a pigeon problem.
We also clarify, we changed it so that the horses are no longer permitted on a residential property less than 1 acre in sight. So you had a horse in a townhouse community. We just really tried to address the issues that we regularly see. It also restricts the use of portable toilets to 10 days. We've had people with the portable toilets in their backyards for years, but we also see gas stations trying to use portable toilets as a permanent means for restrooms, which is not acceptable. So we are changing that. The one thing that I did not include in these changes, one of the things that we kept getting hit with when we placard a house unsafe, unfit, unlawful, uninhabitable, we had been constantly asked what times can people be in the house to either fix their violations or to maintain it. So we put it in the code now. They can be in there from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. if they're actually remedying the violations or if they're doing maintenance on the property. Alternative times can be approved, but that has to go through the code official. We want to see, want to know who's in there. So this way we can alert the cops. When we post something, the cops know nobody should be in there after 7. If there's a special exemption granted that they're allowed in, then we'll notify them so we're all on the same page. That is one of the things that we had had been brought up numerous times. Couple other changes. It adds the $50 re-inspection fee. It establishes the revised ticket process. The first ticket would be $50, second $75, a subsequent $100. So a couple of things on the tickets. We're about 9,500 cases now. We issue about 5,000 tickets annually. But out of them tickets, it's only 5,000 tickets, but it's 2,200 properties. So what we see is it's those same properties that are the problems. Generally, we get compliance after the first ticket. So with this, we're trying to hit the habitual offenders a little bit harder. And then to explain a little further, what we want to, what the code allows us to do is if we go out and cite somebody in April for trash, we go out, we ticket them, they clean it up, we get another complaint in July, we open a new case, we go out, it's trash again. This allows us to go right to the $75. There's no 10-day notice anymore. And then if we went out again in September, that's the kind of goal here is that we hit these habitual offenders with the increased tickets. And that kind of clarifies that the ticket cycle is based on a one-year cycle. It doesn't start anew every case. We've issued about 19,000 violations year-to-date today. We're at about 38,000 inspections. For year-to-date, 40% of our violations or 40% of our complaints are resolved within the 30 days. 18% after that between 30 and 60 days. So we're almost at 60% in 60 days. But again, you know, there's a lot of them that take a lot more time just because they're more complex. Have to go through hearings, but I'm available for any questions if anybody has any.
Any questions from council? Mr. Carter.
Yeah, I'm looking at page 12, and I'm trying to find out how you're defining Natural Resource Area Plan, section PM 302.4.7.
Can we get that?
Yeah.
18. It's on page 12.
Oh, it's the email? Okay.
Did you print it?
I mean,
you've changed it from DEMREC to the state.
It's not. I don't have it.
The reason I ask is that I've gotten calls for communities that I wrote natural resource plans with 15 years ago to restore their open spaces, that we had them built. I worked with Paula Marcelli and Norm Spector.
Yeah. Okay.
At the guidance and request of former land use chair Charlie Baker and George, I wrote a manual. It went along with the management plans, and those communities are now being cited for weeds above 8 inches. And I'm just trying to understand what a natural resource plan is, why they were acceptable 15 years ago, and why they're being cited now, and how this code will address this issue if they want to restore their open space.
So a couple of things. I'm not familiar with any complaints or any issues.
Campbell Ridge is the one that called me the other night, and I sent them all the old historic records, including their ballot to have 2/3 vote of their members of that community to be able to plant trees. Mm-hmm. And so they told me they were being cited and fined and had several repeated sending of that violation. The communities I went through that I know I did this and wrote plans were, that I can go back and check more, are Odessa Chase, Campbell Ridge, Fox Hunter Crossing, Millwood, Colton Meadow, Village of Fairview Farms, and Westside Hunt. And they were all ones that I worked with the former community services staff to have the plans written or accepted that are now having concerns expressed. And then the new ones, we have an issue of having to pay a fee if they want to change their plans. And mm-hmm. I'm just trying to understand, will this code address any of those issues?
I think the code certainly says that, you know, it goes back and says this section shall not apply to any parcel or portion thereof, thereof to the extent that it conflicts with a county or state approved plan. That hasn't changed. We did change the word DENREC to state. to encompass any state plan.
Well, yeah, Department of Ag and Other.
But I'll certainly check on the issue with Cantwell Ridge.
If you have a problem there, contact me. I will send you the original Demerit management plans and all the information. And I don't know if there's a way to do it. Apparently, under, at that time, we were told you had to have a two-third majority. I actually had these communities go either door-to-door canvassing every community member and logging it, or in the specific example of Cantwell Ridge, even though that's not in my district, it's in District 12, I had them actually have every resident fill out a voted ballot. And they're being cited now. So I just want to make sure that it's addressed in this part of the code.
Rich Hall, land use. I think the issue that Councilman Carter, I'm going to say Prosper.
Okay, we get confused.
That's right next to each other today. deals with the open space requirements and how we deal with that, and the issue about trees or changing from some other type of vegetation to trees and the cost and that type of thing. There was a conversation as well that Senator Hansen was involved in. And I know, I think we spoke maybe at a land use committee meeting or a conference call at some point a month or two ago.
Correct.
Sometimes this fall. So we are looking, and we've been talking internally as well. So that's not necessarily an issue specific to the changes we're bringing to you today, or proposing to you all today, but it is a very important issue. And I certainly happy to work with the wishes of council, but to come back and give you a little bit of progress report on where we are in this open space effort. What I can do, Councilman, is send you a little 1-2 pages we put together that shows you how we're starting on this.
And I can look at that, and I can look at what we did. I still have all the notes of the problem 15 years ago between land use and the code enforcement, and we had several meetings at the county that I thought it had been resolved, and I'm not sure it is based on what I'm getting calls from on communities.
And this is specific on open space, right?
It was how they were, once they had a plan for their open space and how they were managed.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Okay. It's not really so much in this.
Okay. And can I just ask where these plans are filed? If there's an auxiliary plan placed on a subdivision, such as this, are they filed someplace with us or with DENREC, or where are they filed? And is this something
where it's on the record plan?
It's on the record plan.
Yeah, or it's referenced in the record plan.
So the guidance I got from land use back then was that they had to vote 2/3. They would present that. It was given to Paula and Norm, and then I assumed it was done in the county, but apparently none of those records were updated with that information.
If I could call him my safety valve here, George Haggerty.
I don't know. George Haggerty, it sounds like it's an issue of making sure that we've got the right maintenance plan or landscape plan in attached to the landscape file. So right. They're all actually, we've done a pretty good job of trying to get them all updated.
Okay.
Plans that you talked about, the communities you talked about, we're going to check to make sure that we've had the right file.
Have them, I have a digital copy I downloaded in 2012 when I left the state, so I could still provide it for those communities, and then you could figure out how to deal with them. I just don't.
We have our own WikiLeaks.
Now that I got elected, all of a sudden they're calling me to know why the county is doing this.
Piece of information, you know, that we're putting so much more now on parcel view that if there is something that is associated with a plan, that maybe if we memorialize it by putting it on the website so that it's with parcel view, that it would be easier for somebody to understand.
Right, and one of the things we have, I went there really quick last time I was here, the tabs, a whole bunch of different tabs.
Right.
Code enforcement and inspections and permits and such.
Right.
One was your community. I didn't spend much time on that day, so I can come back. We're trying to get together a lot of the documents from each community, whether it's open space issues or other things from the maintenance corporations in there, so you can, based on your address, confirm what community you're in, and then get some of those types of documents.
Okay.
So, but anyway, I will loop back with you, Councilman, and happy to come back here to talk about this issue as we've been working on.
Okay, wonderful. Mr. Cartier.
Joe, great to see provisions that kind of address Newcastle County directly. What about construction dumpsters? Any limitations on the...
So we didn't propose any changes to the construction dumpsters. And currently, if you have an open building permit, you're permitted to have a construction dumpster. Just to go through the, you know, DelDOT doesn't allow the dumpsters in the street. They won't even give you a permit for that. So, which I believe, you know, I'm back and forth with Matt Lichtenstein about. But we haven't proposed any regulations, new regulations for restricting dumpsters in yards. I mean, it's certainly something we can take a look at.
So DelDOT won't allow them to be visited in the street?
They do.
Yeah, I mean...
I'll send it to you. I had the conversation with Matt. He didn't think they did. I had to get the... I'll send you our email.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's some confusion on this, right?
Mr. Tackett, was that your comment you wanted to make or something else?
That was it, yep.
Okay.
So what exactly, we're going to have, we stayed the standards on recreational vehicles and boats, and now we're going to take away the whole provision in the code.
It's confusing if it's in the code.
Yeah, we're not enforcing it because it was stayed.
Right.
So our idea is just we think we should just take it out so there is no confusion.
Because I think part of our discussion was that the stay doesn't show up in the code. So
right.
It's in the code. So somebody looks and then they say, wait a minute, they're breaking the code. But they don't know that there's a stay on it because that's not part of the official code.
Maybe we need to draft ordinance and
talk to George.
I have the box in my office.
No. and repeal it. But then
that's
we would
doing.
Well, basically, that's
yeah.
what
that's
happened.
What doing.
It's
yeah.
gone at this point unless you bring it
not
back.
Not going near that.
Any other?
Yeah, you're not going.
Any other comments from council? Any comments from the public?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Wait.
One issue under other.
Yes.
I can hand out to you guys. I've been doing analysis of septic data. I'm not going to do it in detail. I just wanted to hand these out so you have them in advance of next week. Essentially, what I've looked at is that I've gotten access to the state's septic database as well as part of the H license inspection data for septics. It has some concerns in terms of several ordinances, one from 2013, that this data provides some reasons to discuss it, as well as the current permitting. This grew out of the concern where I thought we could look at what we need to do with those potentially 731 south of it now, but there are actually 15 or 16,000, and there's been no compliance inspection of them in 30 years. So what I have done is to try and understand that the reason I wanted to move this under the executive committee next week is largely because I am preparing a grant request to do some survey work and collect data of septic owners in the county, which is due on January 4th, and I need to bring it before you next week to see if you guys concur with me moving forward with just submitting the grant proposal. If I get the funding, I would then come back for you to decide whether or not we want to move forward. So this is just information at this time, and we will have a more detailed discussion of it during the executive committee next week.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
All right, and I want everything under control right now. I would make a suggestion where Council Smiley bring that forward, because you're talking about finance committee, because that would be the appropriate venue to do this in. Listen, we need to move fast. Smiley?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Personnel is in 5 minutes. Don't miss it.
That's how to run a meeting.
That's good.
He got the easy one.
I know.
That's why,
of course.
Absolutely.
You need to